Welcome to our May 22 podcast. This is the week that we observe the Ascension. The actual date for Ascension is May 21st, and we observe that this Sunday. Our subject this week, we continue Paul at the Areopagus. This is part two of that subject. Our first reading today, we're continuing in Acts chapter 17. There it says, "So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God." What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." The gospel, the good news, comes from Luke chapter 24. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel. This is Paul at the Areopagus, part two. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Last week, I was talking about how Paul had entered Athens and that the city was full of idols. In fact, it was glutted with idols. So I answered the question of where idolatry comes from. Where does it come from? It comes out of the human heart. It comes out of human sinfulness. There were parts in history when all the people of the earth knew who the real God was. First, in the time of Adam and Eve, right after the creation, when there were just a few people on earth, and then later, after Noah's flood, again, when there was just Noah and his family. It wouldn't take many generations for humanity to fall into idolatry, though, and to lose sight of the true God. It doesn't mean that God isn't real, not that he has abandoned the creation, nor does it mean he is powerless to change our situation or any other scenario mankind can think of. But in the fallen world, God has pulled back his intervention in the world. Where he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, Now those of us who call upon him do so in prayer. Yet he sustains certain aspects of the creation. He still gives us breath and sustains our lives and all life. Plants and animals propagate according to their kinds. There are physical laws that God has set in place that make sense. The world and the universe do not operate in complete chaos, but according to the physical laws God has set in place. But the world and the universe are also fallen. Paul didn't hesitate to minister to the people of Athens. There were Jews and devout people there he could minister to, people who would understand his background and relate to his culture. Ken Ham wrote a practical book on evangelism methods called Why Won't They Listen? In other words, why won't our culture listen when we seek to reach its people? Why can't we break through with the message of Christ? Ham's answer was that too often we try to use a model that Peter used in the early chapters of Acts. Peter spoke to people with his common Jewish faith. They could understand and relate when he spoke about the things of the Old Testament, about the Messiah, because they had that common background. The people that Peter was speaking to had a common background with him. But we are living today in a world that is a lot like Athens, in that our culture is probably not predominantly Christian in its makeup. When we talk about the Bible, folks will see it as a book that just doesn't really relate to them or their concerns. Like the people of the Areopagus, they treat the message of the Christian like the Athenians who said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Now, the view that the Bible doesn't really apply or make sense today really isn't true. The Bible does apply to our situation and is all important to our worldview, but people may have preconceived notions about what the Bible is about and about Christians themselves. Sometimes Christians, through lack of following through with Jesus' way of life and his teachings, have not given the Bible a very good name. But the sinful human heart is also not amicable to the message. With the ascension of Christ, God has sent a helper, the Holy Spirit, who is working in God's word. When we fail to get the message across with our words, God is still at work. God's Holy Spirit is still at work. But in comparison to the message, where we use Christian jargon or knowledge that others don't really relate to, the Apostle Paul's message is very effective. He starts at square one. Every Christian was at square one at one point in time. But for a person who has spent years in the church hearing God's word, being trained in the catechism, it can be kind of hard to go back to square one and think like the person who has no knowledge of Scripture. A completely erroneous or even a hostile world view of Scripture, those are problems too. Now you really need a reset to break through that kind of hostility. That's the kind of thing we may not be capable of doing, but a work which the Holy Spirit can do on his own. So Paul is invited to the Areopagus because some folks that often went there wanted to hear more about Jesus and the resurrection. They were curious. Paul had piqued their interest. So Paul begins his speech, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" So backing out of Paul's speech for just a minute, I think most people have a longing for something that is lasting, for an enduring legacy, an enduring purpose, an enduring life. There's a longing for knowing God, knowing where we really come from, why we are really here, even if we don't know who God is. If you've ever felt incredibly lonely, wondered if God was there, well, think of those who don't know God, don't have anyone to look to in their lives. That's a difficult life. We should have some concern, some care for folks in that predicament. There's a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, speaking about God. It says there, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Paul drew on that longing for the eternal spark. The people of Athens were religious. They believed in false gods, but they were open to knowing who God really is. And that was indicated by this altar that Paul had found that said, "To the unknown God." The words on the altar are agnosto theo. We call people today who would say they really don't know whether there is a God or not agnostics. But this altar was dedicated to a God that these people just didn't know. Don Richardson, in his book, Eternity in Their Hearts, tells the story of a plague that took place in Athens centuries before. It was actually written about in a historical account outside of Scripture. And apparently a miracle had saved the city. All their praying and crying out to their gods hadn't stopped the plague. So when they went to someone who knew of this unknown God and a miracle occurred as a result of their interactions, they wanted to thank the God who actually had helped them. But they didn't know his name. So what do you put on the altar that you dedicate to this God? They dedicated the altar to the unknown God. The Apostle Paul makes a brilliant turn in his speech here. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. So then, Paul begins to tell them who God is, how he operates. God is greater than a local deity. He doesn't live in temples made by man. God is actually the one that made the world and everything in it. He made mankind, and all nations come from one man. Paul doesn't name that one man, but we do know who that is. That's Adam. He also says something beautifully profound about each person's life. God has determined when we will be on this earth and determined where it is that we will live, with the purpose being that we should seek him and find him. Certainly time on this earth could have ended when Jesus ascended into heaven, but God was not yet finished with his work on this earth. So that reminds you that in this current time and age, God has a purpose for you. God is not done here yet. He's not done with you. But Paul says that God is right here with us. And he quotes the Greeks who said that we are his offspring. It's true. Adam was created by God. But in that greater purpose God has in store for us, he wants us to know that he is real and he will not overlook ignorance anymore. He commands all people to repent and says that there will one day be a judgment by a righteous man who he has raised from the dead. Paul does not say the name here, but we know that it's Jesus. So what was the result? Well, it wasn't without fruit. It says that some mocked the resurrection of the dead, but others wanted to know more. Some men joined him and believed, and these included Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and some others. Paul reached some who hadn't known Jesus. I started doing these podcasts because I wanted to be here for the people of the congregation I serve, to give them an opportunity to have Lent and Holy Week services even though they couldn't attend them due to coronavirus lockdowns. I don't plan to stop doing them, but to whoever is listening, I hope that you know Jesus. And if you don't, I pray that this message is a blessing to you, that you come to know him. If these podcasts have helped you, please share them with other people. Regardless of what happens, though, God has planted eternity in your heart, and he wants you to know him. The Bible is a story of how humanity fell into sin because of disobedience to God. That disobedience brought death into the world. God wanted to save you out of fallenness, and so he sent his son Jesus for you to pay the price for all sin. God also sent his Holy Spirit to give you faith. So the God we know, who created the world, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God loves you, and he has not abandoned you. He is with you. Will you talk to him together with me? Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, you are the maker of all creation, and we pray that you'll give us faith and hearts that seek you out in our lives. Help us not to be estranged from you, but to look to you in all our daily needs. Help us to talk to you when we are hurting, when we feel lonely or unloved. Help us to talk to you in our joys. We pray that you'll guide us each day. In Jesus' name, amen. This week we remember the ascension of Christ. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week when we remember Christ's ascension into heaven. You have sent your Holy Spirit into the world to bring peace, healing, forgiveness, and faith. We pray that the people of the earth will return and reflect upon your great love for us, and pray you guide us to be restored and reconciled to you through your Son, preparing our hearts and minds for that day when you make all things new. Help us not to be fearful in these fearful times, but know that you are walking with us through this valley. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, be in our homes, in our communities, in our country, and guide us as we sort through these times. Bring healing to all who need any kind of healing, whether it be from illness, physical healing, or healing of the mind. We pray that you'll help us remember that you are with us and help us to make the right decisions when we are tested, so that we do not act out of fear, but live and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our hymn this day is a hymn for ascension. It's called A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. This was a hymn that we actually did back on Easter, but the title of the hymn, with different lyrics, was Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. So this day you hear the lyrics to the ascension hymn.
A hymn of glory let us sing. New hymns throughout the world shall ring. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ by a road before untrod ascends unto the throne of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The holy apostolic band upon the Mount of Olives stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And with his faithful followers see their Lord ascend in majesty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. hallelujah, hallelujah. To them the shining angels cry, why stand and gaze upon the sky? Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the Savior, thus they say. This is his glorious triumph day. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You see him now ascending high up to the portals of the sky. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hereafter, Jesus, you shall see, returning in great majesty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. O risen Christ, ascended Lord, all praise to you, let earth accord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are while endless ages run, with Father and with Spirit one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.